Please open your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 16. In your Schofield Reference Bible, page 683. Proverbs, the 16th chapter, we'll be reading responsively verses 1 through 7. And the text verse for this morning's message is the 7th verse. Let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God, as is our custom. The preparations of the heart in man, and the answer of the tongue, is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Every one that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. And let's read together also on the seventh verse. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. And let's pray. And Father, thank you for this great day. Of course, we're thankful for pleasant weather. But whether the weather is good or ill, yet thou dost meet with us here. And of course, our responsibility is to be in thy house and to be with thy people. So bless this great crowd. We pray for thy help in the service. We pray for thy power. We pray for the moving of thy spirit in the hearts of many. May many be saved. We pray that many will be obedient to thee and to thy word. And bless, we pray, our preacher. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm going to speak this morning from this verse I read now. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. I'm going to speak this morning on the subject, may I change seats, please? May I change seats, please? I do not think for a moment that this verse means that if his ways please the Lord, all of his enemies are going to lay down their swords and stack their arms and quit fighting him. If that's the case, our Savior's ways did not please the Lord, because his enemies stayed after him all the way even to the tomb, and even guarded the tomb. So it does not mean that your enemies are going to quit hating you and quit fighting you. But I want to explain to you what it means, and most folks don't understand it, and I'll promise you this morning it'll help you. To the person this morning who has some things in life that are discomforting, I want to talk to you especially. To that person who has some things in life that are not palatable, I want to give you some special help today. To that person this morning who has some situations in life that you wish you didn't have, and you face some things you wish you didn't have to face, I want to talk to you this morning, and I'll promise you that you'll learn something. I'll promise you to walk away, if you'll heed the message, you'll walk away with an entire new outlook on your life. Our Heavenly Father, bless me as I speak this morning. I do not ask for a blessing for myself. I just want to be a blessing to these whom I love with all of my heart. And if I be a blessing to them, you'll have to bless me. So bless them through me, please. Make me just a conduit through which your love and help and strength can pass. In Jesus' name, amen. Sit up straight, look right this way, and follow me very, very carefully. Hardly ever a week I don't fly somewhere. I'll average 200,000 miles a year flying on planes around the country and around the world. I've already flown this year on United Airlines alone, just this year on the one airline, over 50,000 miles. Now, that means I sit beside a lot of people. A lot of people. Sometimes a lot of people are just one person. But I do sit beside a lot of people. And I'm thinking about a lot of them right now. I went to the airport in Pittsburgh several years ago, and I'm always cutting up, and I enjoy living. No use in living not enjoying it when you have it, when you can enjoy it. So I walked up to the counter, and I said, the agent said, what seat do you want? I said, beside a pretty girl. He looked up at me, scratched his head, didn't say anything. I thought I did like that. And I got on the plane. Right beside me was a fella. He must have weighed 400 pounds. And then there was the other leg too. He was a whopper. That makes me hungry thinking about it. But he was something else. And I looked over at him and I said, "You're not what I ordered." He said, "What do you mean?" And I said, "I asked for a pretty girl. I didn't ask for a big guy." And it did it again. I went off to sleep. What I didn't know is that the agent had called the gate and told the pilot to tell the stewardess that if I went to the washroom or went to sleep to find a pretty girl in the airplane and trade seats with that big fella. I went off to sleep, and I woke up and looked over. The prince had become a princess all of a sudden. The frog had become a beautiful woman. I looked in there, sat that real pretty girl, and I said, "I think I've died and gone to heaven," is what I think. And then everybody on the plane knew about it, and they all began to laugh at me. And so ever since then, But I was coming back this week from San Francisco area. I've been preaching, and I sat down on the airplane, and right beside me was a man, and middle age or older, probably some younger than I am. And I, as I always do, I said, "How are you today?" Not a word, no answer at all. And I said, "How's everything going?" And no answer at all. I said, "It's a beautiful day, isn't it?" No answer at all. He was a crab. Last time I did that, I started doing like this to the fellow, and I said, "You must be deaf and can't hear me talk." But I didn't do that this time. But this guy was something else. I mean, he was very rude. Then he crossed his legs, and his legs stuck over in my area. And I wanted to untie his shoe. But I have never seen a more repulsive character in my life. So I asked the stewardess, I said, "Ma'am, could you come here, please?" And she said, "What is it, sir?" I said, "Could I change seats, please?" And she said, "Mr. Howe," she said, "this flight is filled. There's not one empty seat." And I said, she said, "Why do you want to change?" Well, I said, "It's uncomfortable." And she said, "I'm sorry." I said, "Well, there's no way." Well, I said to myself, "I've got to spend 4 hours with this old crab over here." And I said, "I'm going to make peace with my situation." Now, I never made peace with him, but I made peace with the fact that I had to sit there for 4 hours. That was my lot in life for the next 4 hours. And I said, "I'm not going to let this ruin my day. I'm not going to let this ruin my whole life. I'm not going to let that guy do what he's trying to do." So I punched him out and I'm not going to let him do what he's trying to do. I know what he's trying. He's trying to ruin my trip, but he's not going to do it. And I made peace. Not with the man. He would not do that. But I made peace with the fact that I had to sit beside that man for 4 hours. That's what this verse means. This verse does not mean that you can make peace with your enemies. It means you can make peace with having your enemies. It means that you can make peace with your lot in life. For example, I had the enemy of not having a daddy. And I could not make peace with that. And finally, one night, late at night, about midnight, sitting on a curb out in front of our house in Dallas, Texas, I made peace with the fact. Now listen to me. A lot of you need what I'm giving you this morning. I made peace with the fact that I was never going to have a daddy in church with me, or for that matter, even a daddy at home with me. And I looked at my mother. When I got back in, mother was asleep. I went to her bedside, looked at her, and I said, "That's the finest mother in the whole world. I have the greatest mother in the whole world. And I am going to make peace with the fact that I do not have a Christian daddy." The enemy of growing old came to me about 30 years ago. I never associated being old with me. I don't feel old. I don't think I act old. I'm pretty agile for a guy 67. I was out and preaching out in Santa Clara this week, and a guy wrote me a note, and he said, "I'm not as old as you are, but I can't jump like you can." And he said, "I'm serious. Could you let me know what vitamins you take? And I've got to have them." Now, the honest truth is, I never thought about being old. I thought everybody else would grow, but I never would. And one day it dawned on me, I'm old. When I registered for Medicare, I suspicioned it. I went to the when I was at this restaurant eating, and they said, "Do you want the senior citizens discount?" And I said to the waitress, I said, "Just shut up." Now, I hated the thought of being old. Now, one day I decided to make peace with this enemy. I'm old. I can't do anything about it. I'm married to a woman that's going to be a great-grandmother in about 6 months. I'm not going to be a great-grandfather. But I'm old. I'm 67 years old. I'm a senior citizen. I can't do anything about it. I didn't like it when this enemy came to my life. And I fought against the fact, the enemy of having this enemy. And one day, I made peace with it. I decided to like being old. Haven't gotten there yet, but I'm working on it. I decided that there are advantages to being old. About 10% per bill. And I've been happy ever since. I faced it. I made peace with this enemy of being old. The enemy of heartbreak came into my life. And I realized that I was going to have to face this heartbreak the rest of my life. The enemy of battles came into my life. I've always had battles, but I thought when you got old, everybody loved you. Now I know after Mr. Nixon died, it's after you die, everybody loves you. I'm looking forward to it. By the way, I would like to say this. I always felt like Mr. Nixon should never have had to leave the White House. I think he made a mistake, but didn't make any mistake that Lyndon Johnson didn't make before him. And now then, I'm a little sick and tired of McGovern bragging on him all of a sudden. Just shut up, McGovern. But anyway, I thought I'd just put that in. I'm not making peace with McGovern. I don't care whether you like it or not. But I always thought when you got old that folks all loved you. And I thought there'd be a time when I'd get the place in the ministry, if I'd become beloved and revered and sort of a patriarch in the ministry. And then all of a sudden, it seemed like the biggest battles of my life came when I became a senior citizen. And I rebelled against that. I said, "It's not fair. I ought to have some peace before I die." And then one day, I sat down and I made peace with the fact that I've got to have battles the rest of my life. That's what this is talking about. I've got to stick with this old crab for 4 hours. And some of you guys ought to say it about your wife. Fellow went to the restaurant and said, "You serve crabs here?" Said, "Sure, sure. We'll serve you." But anyway, I said to myself, and that's what you ought to do. You don't like your lot in life, but you've got your lot in life. Now make peace with it. This enemy came into your life. And I'm not talking about just the enemy of being a person, though it may be that. I've got some enemies that hate me, and they're giving their lives for my destruction. Now, I love them and drove by one of their houses
yesterday morning and had a special prayer for God to bless him. And I'm not angry at my enemies. I love my enemies and I pray for my enemies. And but I'm not they've given their lives to my destruction, and I'm not gonna to run from it. I'm not gonna to run against it. I'm not gonna fight against it. I'm simply gonna say, okay, I'm gonna make peace with the fact that I've got to have enemies the rest of my life, and I am not gonna let that ruin my life. I'm making peace with my lot in life. I just said, it's here. It's here to stay. It's old age. It's here to stay. I can't fight it, so I'll make peace with it. So I decided in my life, when I have enemies that come, be those enemies individuals or circumstances, be those enemies problems or battles or heartaches, I decided to make peace. Turn me down just a bit, please. Amen. I decided to make peace with the fact that I have these enemies. I have made peace with the presence of my battles. I have made peace with the presence of my heartache. I have made peace with the presence of my heartbreak. And that's why I can walk in that door every Sunday morning on topside. Because I have accepted my lot in life and made peace with my lot in life and realize I cannot change it. I cannot change it. I'll accept it and I'll live with it and I'll be at peace in my heart with what my lot in life is. Let me illustrate. You can make peace with war. Back in World War II, war was there. It was inevitable. We had to fight a war. We had to defend our country against Adolf Hitler and against the Japanese. We had to do that. And so we came to place as a nation. We made peace with war. That's one thing. What's wrong with America? One of the things wrong with America, we're not willing to fight for anything anymore. And we made peace with war. I counseled with a middle-aged lady. Now, follow me carefully. I want to help you. She was single. Had never married. And she said, Brother Hiles, I believe God's got a husband for me somewhere. Well, I told her, I said, I can tell you dozens of ladies in our church that'll give you the one they got right now. Would those ladies raise your hands, please? But wait a minute. She said, I can't believe God's going to let me live my life by myself. I'm middle-aged. This lady was in her 40s. And she said, I'm middle-aged. And she said, I want to someday be a completer. Please do not take notes while I'm preaching now. I want you to listen to me. I want to be a completer for some man. And I believe that God's going to give me a husband. And I'll not be happy till God does. And I said, listen, you better make peace with that. If you'd have seen her face, you'd agree with me. No, I'm serious about this now. I wasn't serious about that. She's a lovely lady and certainly would have made somebody a good wife. But I said, now what you better do is you better make peace with your lot in life. You can't go through life having this enemy of never having married, wrecking or ruining your life. You can do what Maxine Jeffries did one day. She made peace with this enemy. And you can do what a lot of godly women in this church have done. They've made peace. And some of you ladies are fighting this thing of being single. And the honest, simple truth is, you're going to have a miserable, wretched life or marry some idiot one of these days who's going to wreck your life. Now, what you ought to do is say, I'm sitting beside this fella. I got a four-hour trip. I've got to fly from San Francisco to Chicago with this old crab right here. But I am not. I'm going to make peace with the fact that he's my fellow passenger. He's sitting beside. May I have another seat, please? I'm sorry, Mr. Hiles. There are no seats. This plane is full. We cannot put you anywhere else. Now, if there is a seat, go sit in it. If there's not a seat, make peace with the fellow beside you. Now, he may not speak to. He didn't. He never spoke to me at all. But I made peace with the fact that I had 4 hours to live with that fellow. I had no other choice. And it's time that some of you made peace with the inevitabilities of life. I talked to a lady who has an unhappy marriage. And I said, Jojo, listen to me. I talked to a lady who had an unhappy marriage. And I said to her, look, you stood at the altar one day and said, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer. Now, worse has come. But you said for worse. Now, the honest, simple truth is, you got this guy. And you better make peace. Now, you may not can make peace with him. He has a hot temper, but you got to make peace with the fact that you got him. Everybody wants to get rid of something they have or want something they don't have. Now, if you can change something, change it. Reinhold Niebuhr, a liberal theologian, wrote the prayer that the Alcoholics Anonymous uses. I'm not sure I can quote that prayer exactly, but he said, I'll change what I can, except what I can't change. And that's what I'm preaching about this morning. I mean, ladies, if you're single, don't spend your life fighting. Don't make an enemy out of being single. Make a friend out of being single and accept your lot in life and accept and make peace with your situation in life. This lady said, that's interesting. I should have gotten the lady that wanted a husband and then gotten the lady that had one she didn't want and let her make a deal. But the honest truth is, this gal said, for the house, I'm married to get away from my parents. I was 17 years old. I'm married to get away from my parents. I wanted to get out of the house. I knew I didn't love the guy. I married the guy, and it's been hell ever since. Brother Hiles, it's a constant warfare on the inside. Now I said, look, you can't stop the war on the outside, but you can stop the war on the inside. Make peace with this enemy. There are couples here this morning that have no children. And it looks like you're never going to be a mother, a father. Now, make peace with that. This is an enemy that's come into your life. Make peace with it. I mean, the honest truth is, there are people in this world that cannot have children, and there are folks in this world God does not want to have children. Now, rather than being miserable all your life, look at it and say, can I have another seat, please? If all the seats are taken, say, I'm sitting here and I am making peace with the fact that this is where I've got to sit in my life. Now, I could take case after case after case here in this room this morning. Our daughter Becky has done a beautiful thing. Becky has the worst case of lupus I guess I've ever seen in my life. And Becky has lived in fear now, especially in the last few weeks. But Becky one day sat down and realized that she had lupus. And she realized that there was no cure for that lupus that she has, as far as she can find. And Becky sat down and looked it square in the face, and she said to God, may I have another seat, please? And God said, all the seats are taken. This is your seat. This is where you've got to sit. And Becky made peace with this enemy of lupus. And she still plays the piano in her church, and she still writes poetry, and she still writes songs, and she even still holds down a job in the secular world, and she still is going on. She hurts, but she keeps going. Why? Because she sat down and she said, may I have another seat, please? And God said, I'm sorry, all the seats are taken. And Becky said, if I've got to sit here, I'm making peace with this disease. Don Boyd found out he had eye cancer. He's a one-eyed bandit now. He's got a glass eye. But Don Boyd has done a beautiful job of making peace with this enemy. When cancer comes to your eye, that's an enemy. And the cancer walked into his eye, and Don Boyd had to face the surgeon's knife and realize that one eye would be taken from his socket, have to have a glass eye put there. And Don Boyd looked it square in the eye and said, may I have another seat, please? And God said, I'm sorry, all the seats are taken. You'll have to sit here. And Don Boyd said, if I've got to sit here and there's no other place to sit, I'll sit here. And he made peace with his enemy. Couple sat in my office. Out in the waiting room, one of our security guards was taking care of their retarded child. And they said, Brother Hiles, we can't accept this. We have a child that's retarded. We had hopes and dreams for our child. There's got to be something. May I have another seat, please? They said to God. God said, all the seats are taken. You've got this retarded child. Now listen to me, folks. There are a lot of you people that need this sermon more than you need anything in the whole wide world today. I said to them, this is the child that God gave you. Now you can fight this enemy and rebel, have a miserable life and blame God and say, I don't think it's fair. Well, the honest truth is, you can say that if you want to. Or when you say to God, may I have another seat, please? And God said, this is the seat assigned to you. And that's what was on the airplane. That seat was assigned. Mr. Hiles, she said, this is your assigned seat. And right beside me sat a Colonel Crabb. And I said, may I have another seat, please? And she said, I'm sorry, all the seats are taken. This is your assigned seat. Now this morning, I sit in my assigned seat as pastor of First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. In that seat, beside me in that seat, not up here on the platform, but that seat means enemies. That seat means heavy burdens. That seat means attacks. That seat means being highly visible as pastor of the largest church in America. Highly visible. That seat means I'm easily seen. I'm living in a glass house. That means I'm easily shot at. That means I'm easily envied. That means it's easy to be jealous of me. But that's my seat. I asked God, may I have another seat, please? He said, I'm sorry. All the seats are taken, but this is your assigned seat right here. Now I can say that's not fair. Nobody else faces what I face. I'll spend my life miserable. God's not good to me. I'll get bitter. I'll fight back. Or I can say, this is my seat. All the other seats are taken. And this is the seat assigned to me. And I can make peace with that enemy. As I scan this auditorium this morning, I see people who have to sit in some mighty uncomfortable seats. I see people this morning in this auditorium who have loved ones who have cancer. I see people in this auditorium who have malignancy in them. Up in Minnesota, Rochester lies this morning, Mrs. Evans with cancer and as short as 2.5 years to live, and yet that's the seat. And there's no other seat. That's hers. It's her assigned seat. Now, Mrs. Evans had cancer 11 years ago. And 11 years ago, the doctor said 3 years at the most. 5 years will be a miracle. But he didn't know Marlene Evans. He didn't know her grit. He didn't know her fortitude. He didn't know her courage. He didn't know how much fight she had in her. And Marlene said, I've got to sit with cancer. May I have another seat, please? I'm sorry, Marlene. All the seats are taken. This is your assigned seat. And Marlene Evans looked at that cancer and said, cancer, if I've got to live with you, I'm going to make friends with that fact. And for 11 years, she's been a blessing to us. And you're not going to be a blessing complaining about your seat. I could have ruined that entire flight last Wednesday. I could have said to the stewardess, get me another seat. I'm not going to sit beside this crab. I could have gone to the pilot and said, listen, you think I'm going to pay money to sit beside this? I don't have to. And I can ruin everybody's time on the airplane, or I can make peace with my lot in life, and so can you make peace with whatever seat God has assigned to you. Make peace, and you can make peace with your enemy. Lady, who doesn't want to be a preacher's wife? I've talked to a dozen of them. Doesn't want to be a preacher's wife. Her husband's been called of God to preach. And the enemy has come and sat down beside you And you realize that if you're a preacher's wife, you're going to sit where this little lady sits here. Everybody's going to watch you. Every step you take, they're going to watch. Every slip that you make, they're going to criticize. You're going to live in a glass house the rest of your life. Every little mistake that will be seen and visible, and you've got to live in a glass house, and you don't want to face it, but God's called your husband to preach, and this enemy is coming to your life. Sit down and look at it.
May I have another seat, please? May I have another seat, please? I'm sorry, Mr. Hiles. Every seat on this airplane is filled, and this is your assigned seat. And God has given you an assigned seat this morning. If that assigned seat is to not have a husband, then make peace with it. If that assigned seat, maybe your husband's left you, and you're looking for somebody else, quit looking! Sit in your seat and quit coveting everybody else's seat. I could have said that sturdy. Look at that guy over there. He's sitting beside a pretty blonde. And I'm sitting beside a bald-headed crab. Now, at first, I wanted somebody else's seat. At first, I looked and said, look at there, that guy's got somebody that'll talk to him over there. They're having a conversation. That guy's being friendly. And look who I've got. But I had to face the fact that I was sitting beside a crab. And that this was my assigned seat. And there were no other seats available. And I had to sit there and accept it, or sit there and not accept it. And if I sit there and don't accept it, I'm the one going to be miserable. But sit there and do accept it, I can be happy if I make peace with my enemy here. Fella said, well, how's I got a problem? My mother-in-law is coming to live with us. I said, you can never make peace with that. My mother-in-law lived with us. How many years? 12? 12 years. Now, she and I, when she came, I said to myself, she's coming. I mean, higher powers had invited her in. Higher authority has said, come on. Now, that means that under the same roof, I'm going to have to live with my mother-in-law. And I said this, if that's the seat I've been assigned, I'm going to sit there. And the truth is, the last words my mother-in-law said that anybody can understand on this earth were, I love you, Jack. Because that was my seat. Now, you quit complaining because you got a crab beside you, or no husband beside you, or no children beside you, or if you've got some kind of disease, okay. If you got diabetes and it's incurable, I wish you didn't have it, but make peace with it. Whatever your circumstances are, where you sit in life, make peace. If it's a person that's after you, you can't make peace with him, but you can make peace with the fact that he's there. Which means you can have lupus and still be happy. You can have enemies and still be happy. You can be a single middle-aged woman and still be happy. You can be a parent without married without children. You can't be a parent without children. but that's your seat. Make peace with it. Somebody's after you. Somebody hates you. And you'd like to be at peace. You can't do it. You try to make peace and you can't. Okay. It's a lifetime proposition. I cannot change seats. I am going to be happy in the seat where I sit now. Now, all over this room this morning are people whom I know personally who have not been accepting your enemy. Your enemy of a disease. Your enemy of a mate. Your enemy of childlessness, not having children. Your enemy of a mate being taken by death. Your enemy of having to live by yourself. While other women have men living at their houses and they don't drive alone all the time. You have this enemy that's come in your life. Now what you ought to do is exactly what I said to the Sturdis. May I have another seat, please? Mr. Hiles, I'm sorry, but there are no empty seats on this plane. This plane is sold out. And this is your assigned seat. And I looked at the fellow and said to myself, 4 hours with this crap. But this is my seat. He is trying to ruin my trip. He's not going to do it. And I made peace with the fact that he was sitting beside me. When I got off that plane, I tapped him on the shoulder. I wrote down what I said. I said, thank you. Thank you for the flight. Still didn't say anything. I said, thank you for the flight, because you being beside me on this flight Sunday morning is going to help some people I love very much. And I got a sermon. Kept me from studying. And if I had that flight to go over, I'd choose that same seat. And if I had somebody to fly beside me there, I'd choose that same crap. And if I had my life to live over, I'd be happy to choose exactly the enemies that have come to my life. Heartaches? Yes. Heartbreak? Oh, yes. Enemies? Oh, yes. Attacks? Oh, yes. No father at home? That's right. Poverty? Yeah. Had to leave my own denomination because of liberal schools and tendencies? That's right. Hated? Yeah. Criticized? Uh-huh. Maligned? Yeah. Yeah. But that's my seat. It was assigned to me. And I plan to sit there. And I plan to make the most of it. And I plan to make friends or peace with my enemies. And that's exactly what God is saying to you this morning. To some of you, if you will heed what I've preached, it'll be the best sermon you ever heard in your life. If you will look at your lot in life and quit wrestling, ask God, may I have another seat, please? And don't ask Him for the whole flight. May I have another seat? May I have another seat? May I have another seat? Oh, God, give me another seat. Oh, Sturgis, give me another seat. Give me another seat. Give me another seat. Give me another seat. Don't ask Him. Ask Him to give you another seat. If there's no other seat available and God's assigned it to you, accept it, make peace with it, and live life to its fullest. Even with your enemy. Our Heavenly Father, some people in this room this morning, all over this room that I know, have uncomfortable seats. Enemies have come to sit beside them. And they've asked you, may I have another seat, please? And you said, I'm sorry. All the seats are taken. This is the one assigned to you. I pray you would help us this morning to be at peace with the presence of our enemy. If that enemy be a person, a circumstance, an illness, a heartbreak, a sorrow, a retarded child, unhappy marriage, being single, help us to be at peace in the seat you've chosen for us. Our heads are bowed.